As befitting the time and circumstance and his financial strength and personal ability. In this regard, the word kamani in this verse is significant. Pritu Maharaja's activities were not ordinary, for they were in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami has advised that things which are favourable to devotional service should not be rejected, nor should activity favourable for devotional service be considered ordinary work or fruit of activity. For example, an ordinary worker conducts business in order to earn money for his sense gratification. A devotee may perform the same work in exactly the same way, but his aim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Consequently, his activities are not ordinary. Prithvi Maharaja's activities were therefore not ordinary, but were all spiritual and transcendental. For his aim was to satisfy the Lord, just as Arjuna, who was a warrior, had to fight to satisfy Krishna. Prithvi Maharaj performed his royal duties as king for the satisfaction of Krishna. Indeed, whatever he did as emperor of the whole world was perfectly befitting a pure devotee. It is therefore said by a Vaishnava poet, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vikir Na Bujhaya. No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. A pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them there is profound significance. the satisfaction of the Lord. In order to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. Maharaj Prithu did not allow himself to function outside the institution of the four varnas and four ashrams, although, as a Vaishnava, he was a Paramahamsa, transcendental to all material activities. He remained at his position as a Kshatriya to rule the world and at the same time remained transcendental to such activities by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, concealing himself as a pure devotee. He externally manifested himself as a very powerful and dutiful king. In other words, none of his activities were carried out for his own sense gratification. Everything he did was meant for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. This is clearly explained in the next verse. So here we see in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, so Prabhupada quotes this Vaishnava poet, Vaishnavara Kriya Vujra Vigya Nabuchaya. No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada puts it in another way. He says that everyone in this world, except us, the devotees who are following Krishna in his Bhagavad Gita, everyone in this world is trying to avoid Krishna, devotional service to Krishna, except us. That's how Srila Prabhupada puts it. So that means no one can understand it. What the devotees are doing, and in fact, Prabhupada would say, who is crazy? So they're thinking, we're crazy, we're wasting our time, and they're thinking, we're crazy. Now, we're thinking they're crazy because we see that they're working for sense gratification, like madmen, and doing so many crazy things. So we don't have to mention all those crazy things. But basically everything we do is, we see as a form of madness. And Prabhupada said that is scientifically proven. Actually, he quotes one court case that he knew of where someone had committed murder, and they brought in a medical practitioner to analyze whether this person was a little bit crazy and therefore should be let off. And the medical practitioner said, well, scientifically, he said to the judge that everyone in this world is actually a little bit crazy because they're, mad after sense gratification. They have no control of the mind and senses. The definition of crazy is someone who can't control the mind and senses. Whenever we lose control of the mind and senses, we act crazy. There's the mind and senses. So that's, who is not in that position where the mind and the senses are just making them do silly things that they wouldn't do? So basically we see that everyone in this world is losing control of mind and senses and therefore crazy. Whereas the devotees try to keep control of the mind and senses and act not for sense gratification, which binds one to cycle of birth and death, but act for the pleasure of Krishna. We act, as Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee acts for the purpose of purification so that we can know Krishna and ultimately return back to the spiritual world out of the cycle of birth and death, which seems to be, a more rational sort of way to go through this world. So, so basically we see that in this world, people everyone follows a specific philosophical points of view. Even if they don't feel that they're following, you know, people say, you know, I'm just doing my own thing. But actually, everyone thinks like that. You know, I'm just independently, I'm a very unique person just doing my own thing. But really, that you can just put them into about three categories. They're following the sort of Buddhist type philosophy where there is no soul. So they may think, oh, I'm the only one doing this, you know, I'm just doing my own unique thing. But they're classed with millions of others who have no concept of the soul and think that this material body is just a combination of, you know, the material elements. They come together, they create consciousness, you dismantle the body and consciousness disappears. Which is the basic scientific premise of life, which everyone is following in this world. Or, you know, they may feel that you do take birth again. So that first, Krishna has summarized all of these philosophies, these basic philosophies in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, in Buddhist philosophy, the scientific philosophy. Chapter 2, text number 26. Atachinam dicharjitam nichambhamanisemitam tatitam mahabaho nenam sochidamahasi. If, however, you think that the soul or the symptoms of life will always be born and die forever, you still have no reason to lament a mighty arm. In other words, Krishna's saying, if you think, like the Buddhists do, or the scientists do, that the chemicals come together and create what appears to be the symptoms of life, when those chemical composition of the body is dismantled, life is gone, who laments over the loss of some chemicals? As sort of Prabhupada says, you know, because Prabhupada was a chemist, you've got a bottle of chemicals, you drop them, accidentally they go everywhere. Ah, you know, I'll get another bottle of chemicals, like that, so on. And at the same time, you know, these bodies, which are like the chemicals coming together and dissipating, Srila Prabhupada describes it like the bubbles in the ocean, the foam of the ocean. You know, that if you go down to the beach and you see little bubbles, billions of them, every moment, coming and going. And Srila Prabhupada is very humorous, actually. He says, you don't see people stopping and saying, oh, the bubbles. Off he goes, another one. You know, they just bathe in the water and they don't think about it. But actually, life is like that. You know, the bodies are coming, going, and disappearing. So that is. So everyone is following that, basically. But then you do get some people who feel that no, we do take birth again, and that's also described in the Bhagavad Gita. Although their understanding of the person of spiritual subject matters is still not very well developed, and that's mentioned in the next verse. Tatashi hidrubom ritual dhubom janam ratashicha tasmada paraheyate natam shortitamahasi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. So we see that in India and places, many Asian places around the world, many places, they do understand that they will take birth again. And as soon as they die, they will take birth again. But again, their understanding is that if there is a God, and we see that this Kamavada or Kamavamsa philosophy, when Krishna was speaking to Nanda Maharaj, trying to convince Nanda Maharaj that not to do the worship of Indra, but to worship Govardhan Hill. And so he preached to Nanda this Kamavamsa philosophy. So Krishna, we know of course Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, but he's saying to Nanda, if there is a God, that if you do your work, then God is obliged to give you the good result. If you do your good work, you'll get a good result. If you do some bad work because there's a lack of morality and honesty and truthfulness, you'll get a bad result, and in your next life you'll suffer those reactions. So Srila Prabhupada says that is actually a fact, that part of it. There is more, which we'll get to, that actually there is a God. But they feel that God is something like a judge. So, you know, the judge, you break the law, okay, he looks up his little book, okay, this is the crime, you know, so I must give you this sentence. I have no choice. And this person has done something good, or they must be rewarded, compensated in this way. I have no choice. This is it. So the judge is like that. He doesn't really have a choice. He's just forced to give. That is also very common. So therefore, they feel that, why worship God? Why bother going to church? So, there's a big movement in India, what do they call it? Arya Samaj. Yeah. Arya, of course, is the Aryan civilization. So they feel that they are progressive, but they say that they're against temple worship. Why bother? Why go to all that trouble to worship God? Why waste your time? You could be doing good work and getting the good results. Why you take so much time, so much money? Why do that? So, when Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that it was very common that he would come across in India. And of course, that is very unusual. Of course, it's not unusual in one sense, but as Prabhupada said, everyone in this world is trying to avoid serving Krishna except us. And that was his experience, even in India, the land of Krishna. So in 1956, Prabhupada said he was publishing Back to Godhead, as he had been doing since 1944. And he would get them published, and then he would have to take them to the postmaster. And the postmaster said to him, why are you going to so much trouble? Because he could see, Prabhupada, actually it was a lot of difficulty in 1956. So Srila Prabhupada, a lot of difficulty. That's about 12 years he was publishing these Back to Godheads. And literally going without, just to make sure that the money he had was principally going towards fulfilling his future master's order to publish Back to Godhead. And this postmaster said that, and he sort of quoted this Arya Samaj philosophy, why are you going to so much trouble to just, it makes no sense. And he said, you just do your duty. Be a moral person. Be truthful and honest. If you do that, you've got the result. You get the results of after death. So, Srila Prabhupada quoted this. This is what he said to him. course, Srila Prabhupada will quote that because his Back to Godhead were based upon the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said that, and of course here, see, you know, if someone was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and they read this verse and they were members of the Arya Samaj, they may look at this verse and think that, oh, you know, yes, we are following that in the Bhagavatam, that we are executing our duties according to time and situation, according to one's strength and position. And but here they have a different concept of the absolute truth. Their understanding is that God is impersonal, and even when he appears in this world, he takes a material form as well. And that. So they feel that therefore, when God is in this world, he is also under the same laws of the material energy as they are. They're obliged by the material energy, and God is in the different forms, is also obliged by the material energy when he is in this world. So he's obliged to give them the results of their activities. So even if they accept the principle of the absolute truth, they still hold their Arya Samaj view of karma mamamsa. Do your work. Work is supreme. So then Srila Prabhupada counters that with the philosophy of the Bhagavats and the Bhagavad Gita. And he says that, actually, according to the Bhagavad Gita, if there is no actual understanding of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, who is completely transcendental to the material world, that even when he appears in this world, he acts completely transcendentally, although he has a human form. If they have no Krishna consciousness, then they cannot be moral. They cannot perform the proper duty. They cannot be honest, and they cannot be truthful. Good argument. Because, according to the Bhagavad Gita, there are three modes of material nature. Now, all these principles of morality, truthfulness, duty, they're all principles of one situated in sattva, goodness. But the modes of goodness are always being challenged by the modes of passion and ignorance. In fact, the way Srila Prabhupada puts it, he says that you know, due to the attack of the lower modes of the nature, there's always an onslaught of these modes that pollute our activities in this world. So it sounds a lot stronger when you hear it that way. You know, there's this onslaught, you know, tamaguna just, you know, smashes us, rajaguna smashes us, and it forces one to break the principles of sattva, truthfulness, goodness, duty, whereby one is acting according to the mode of passion. One will have so many material desires based upon one's bodily requirements. So here, Prithi Maharaj, actually he always connected his activities to satisfy the absolute truth. But one who comes under the modes of passion, then their activities are dedicated to satisfying the, you know, strong material desires that well up in one's heart, and that intermingles with one's sense of what is right and wrong, what is truthful. So then one's sense of you know, what is moral becomes what is good for me. So actually it becomes polluted. And of course, if, as we know, without a higher tasting Krishna consciousness, if we're not attached to, you know, very strongly attached to the personality of Godhead, as Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, then, you know, we must, our attachment must go to the material energy. If we don't, if we can't attach ourselves to something superior to the material energy, our attachment must come back to the material energy. So, so what happens is that people create their own standards of what is duty, their own standards of what is moral, their own standards of what is honest and truthful. So, sort of Prabhupada analyzes that. For instance, because we're in the material world, and there are the three different modes of material nature, that there will be different, you know, what is good for someone is bad for someone. One man's food, the next man's poison. So, and ultimately, it comes to what the authorities say. Therefore, you know, in for instance, in any country, every citizen thinks, you know, what is proper. You know, I should have more. You know, but I don't have more, so I'm going to take more. You know, and that's right. Like that. So therefore, the government, they have laws. You know, you take more than, you know, what you're allowed, you encroach upon someone else's property, you know, what have you, take someone else's wife, children, you know, the house, then that is wrong. And the government has specific laws of what you can and can't do. So therefore, that becomes the standard of morality and duty and what is right or wrong. Who is the highest authority? So that is accepted. So therefore, the government may say, now it is war. Invaders are coming in their long boats to come and attack us. They're going to, you know, kill the men, and take the women as captive, make the children slaves. We must go to war, stop them. So then that is considered good, and they will get medals. Gold medals, as Prabhupada says, you get a gold medal. And they get medals. So, but then after the war, then there's peace. If the same soldiers kill anyone without the authorization of the government, then that's immoral. So actually the same activity, that's the point. One may say killing is immoral. Oh no, but there's war. Oh, now it's moral. Oh, now it's peace. Oh, now it's immoral. But it's the same activity. You know, you take a knife to cut someone, oh, that's immoral. But if you're a surgeon, oh, that's moral. So it's the same activity, so it's very difficult. The world of duality. He gives some nice examples as well. But therefore, you know, keep to the left, keep to the right. You know, you go to America, and just keep to the right. Okay, make sure, because I'm driving today. To here, let's keep to the left. So, you know, one can't just go to another country and say, well, in our country, you know, we have a different standard, and I'm keeping that. And I'm then breaking the law and go to jail. So the same activity in one country is different, in another country. So morality, the standard of what is right, is very subjective. And therefore, it can only be fixed up by who is the highest authority. We say, and the scriptures say, that God is the highest authority. Because he is actually the proprietor of everything and everyone. So we follow the same system. We actually follow the same system as they're saying. that you can only fix up duty, morality, truthfulness, honesty by accepting what the highest authority is saying. So we say the same thing. The only thing is, there's an authority above their authority, who's higher and knows more. So we're not following something different. So the Prabhupada said when he was in Russia, he said, we're doing the same as you. You and I, you know, you're from Russia, we're from, you know, we're following the Vedas, we have the same philosophy. But what is that? You follow Lenin, we also follow the leader, we follow Krishna. We're not doing anything different. But then you have to look. What did Lenin do? Oh, you know, here's my competitor. Oh, let's give him some, you know, poison. And you take this poison and you kill yourself, otherwise it will kill your family as well. So, you know, that's their letter of resignation. So, basically, because everyone in this world is on the mental platform of sense gratification, that if I want something, then that is good for me. So I want more money, more this, more that. So that sort of platform of mental platform, it has to be stopped by having a highest authority who gives the sense of what is right above our mental platform. Just because we want to kill someone, we want to steal something because our mind is saying that really feels good right now to do that. You know, we can't live in this world like that. Yet, in India, the most popular philosophy that sort of circles around the world, or goes around, comes from India. Everything actually, all these philosophies come from, you know, they're all written down somewhere in India. Whether they're nonsense or correct, they're all coming from there. Let's say, yatamak tatapat, right? That they say, well, you say that is right, and you say that is wrong, but this is right. And we say, they're all right. Anything you do, any path you follow, it's all good like that. So this is their conclusion. Of course, you can make a lot of money like that. You get a lot of followers. That's, yes, do whatever you're doing, do whatever nonsense you're doing, just pay me some money, accept this philosophy, yadamatatapat, chant this mantra and just go on with whatever you want to do. Okay. So, but actually, the supreme authority is Krishna above everything. Therefore, God is the ultimate authority. That's a very interesting point because in America they have on their notes, "In God we trust," but they don't follow God's laws; they follow man-made laws. And this has happened all over the world. So what we're saying, as Prabhupada said, everyone is trying to avoid serving Krishna. There is some lip service that God is the highest. That, of course, that makes, once Srila Prabhupada said that the main reason in Christianity crucifixion of Jesus on the cross so prominent in their philosophy is to distinguish themselves from the Jews. Yeah, that you killed Jesus. So, a lot of religious identity these days is a little bit like that on the bodily concepts. Us and them. And really the way they discuss religion is to perpetuate this nationality and superiority A lot of religious principles are perpetuated like that. This is us, this is our country, our place of birth and religion, and this is our superiority to you, and therefore what you have really belongs to us because we represent God like that. So a lot of religious principles are like that. But so they don't really care about following the order of God. It comes back to the modes of material nature. These strong material desires have infiltrated religious principles, and they're acting in many different ways, not for the pleasure of the Supreme Person of Godhead, which they don't even understand God. They don't even understand the soul. What to speak of understanding Bhagavan, they, you know, even if you discuss with people of a religious background, Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, Buddhism, anyone, and you discuss, you know, what is the soul, they struggle to understand that. The very basics of, and yet, they're claiming to know God. Or God want, God's talking to me, and he wants me to do this. Okay. They cannot tell the difference between the mind and the intelligence, or the mind and the ego. They cannot even understand the subtle body at all, but they can distinguish that God is talking to me. That I must kill you. So, but actually, you know, we follow Krishna, and in the Bhagavad Gita we see that, you know, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, it's quoted here, that Arjuna, who was a warrior, had to fight to satisfy Krishna. Sometimes, you know, if fighting can be stopped, then we avoid it. Thou shalt not kill. So Krishna himself, he went to Duryodhana on a peace mission to try and stop the war. Actually, so many different personalities, you know, they went to Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. There's no need for this war. And then they set it up. You've taken this kingdom, which is actually the Pandavas, they're the rightful heirs of the kingdom, and they're the pious persons fit to rule the world, but just give them so much land as, you know, little villages. Oh no, I'll not give them so much land as they can put the tip of the needle into. In other words, let's go to war like that. So when there's no other option, and then war must be there, then violence must be there. So Duryodhana, you know, Yudhisthira, his understanding was the God-centered understanding that everything belongs to the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. And Duryodhana, he was against that. Now, I must rule. I have taken from the representative of God, even God himself is telling me, and Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, they accepted Krishna as the personality of Godhead. They accepted that. They never denied that. They understood, yes, he's God, he's Bhagavan. Still, I cannot follow his order. We want this kingdom for ourselves. He is wanting for the Pandavas, and I'm wanting for myself. So that he accepted. So this is the modes of material nature. So what we see that this is, but he was going to rule the kingdom. In fact, people said, you know, someone once asked me, actually Duryodhana was a very good leader in the sense that people loved him. He ruled the kingdom fairly and honestly. Right? So this is what's called honor among thieves. Right? Another standard of morality. That the thieves, they go into a bank to take the money. And the security guard tries to stop and they shoot him dead. You know, they try to take the wedding rings off the hands of the ladies and they protest and they slap them down. And they take the money of the hard working people and then they go back and they say, so now let us divide this up honestly amongst ourselves. So, You know, so actually that is what's happening in this world. That everyone, you know, God is a proprietor. But they're all, I know we're dividing up honestly ourselves amongst ourselves. But you're all thieves. And it's all for your sense gratification. None of us are Christian. None of us are propagating Christian consciousness. You know, you've spent, you know, billions of dollars on, you know, Michael Jackson's left hand glove. Oh, Michael Jackson's left hand glove. It's only going for about $3 million. Oh, that's a bargain. It doesn't matter that people are starving. You know. So, that's on the month here. So, you know, actually, on the transcendental platform, this is very, very hard for people to understand. The platform of a Vaishnava and the platform of that what the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants is good, moral, truthful, and auspicious for everyone. Even if there's killing. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra there is killing, but because it was ordered by the Supreme Lord, all of those persons on the battlefield would either attain, go to the heavenly planets and attain a heavenly planet, or many of them actually, because the personality of God was there and sanctioned that war, many of them actually attained liberation, went back to Vaikuntha. So, this everything is actually under the dominion of the personality of Godhead, and therefore meant to be, every living entity is meant to be their due allotment as awarded by the personality of Godhead should be, that is their rightful claim. So Prithi Maharaj was following that. In this kingdom, which represented practically the whole world, every living entity, not just the humans, but the ants, the trees, and of course the, you know, non-living entities, the rivers, everything shall be protected. What is their natural position, their allotment, is awarded by the personality of Godhead, and therefore according to my full capacity, that will be protected. That is called having dominion over others. See? So, in Christianity, if you ask them, it says thou shalt not kill, but you're very expert in killing. You know, you slaughter houses all over the world, and why? And they say, because we have dominion. It says in the Bible that we have dominion over, you know, the animals. I was speaking to someone the other day, I said, I have 5 daughters from their father. I have dominion over them. It means I protect them, maintain them. Doesn't mean I slaughter them. God has dominion. God has dominion over all living entities. But of course, they say, well, they don't have a soul. A bunch of chemicals. We come back to the chemical philosophy. They're just, you know, no soul there. Some chemicals have come together. It doesn't matter. And therefore, you can see that one must take the standard of duty and morality from the supreme authority, because the teachings of Krishna is that every living entity, there must be a spirit soul, otherwise how are they living? That is the symptom that there is a soul there. We cannot create a standard of how we treat another living entity if we don't have proper knowledge that every living entity is a spirit soul and they're equal. Therefore, a learned person, one who is actually God conscious, they see the brahmana, the elephant, the dog, the dog eater equally. We're all equal. We're all individual, exactly the same. You know, the living entity in the body of the cow is exactly a spirit soul, exactly as I am. And therefore, the pains and pleasures that I feel are the same pains and pleasures that spirit soul feels. And the allotment, and because that spirit soul is the same, that means that the personality of Godhead also sits side by side within the heart of that living entity as a super soul. So when a devotee looks at another living entity, they see, here in this cow, there is the soul, which has equal status as I do, in the eyes of God. And there is God sitting within the heart, who is looking after the interests of that living entity. I cannot just override the personality of Godhead, who is maintaining the allotment of that living entity. So that is, therefore, a person with that knowledge, their duty to other living entities is much more refined, because they can see properly. Without that knowledge, how can you know how to behave? Oh no, we have dominion, you know, let us kill and eat. So, very hard to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, their sense of duty. They appear to be doing the same thing, but their sense of duty is fixed in Krishna. What he says is correct. That they cannot understand. You know, why are you bothered worshipping Krishna? Just do your duty. As Prabhupada said, how can you do your duty if you don't know Krishna? You don't know the personality of Godhead. You can't understand even the basics of what a living entity is. How can you, you know, do your duty? What is moral? You're under the modes of material nature. There's so much, you know, lust and envy and greed that is, you know, that onslaught is polluting your sense of what is right. How can you be honest and dutiful? And but they see that actually the activities of the Vaishnavas, that is immoral. So, for instance, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, his father was being killed, Hiranyakasipu. And Srila Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj, who is waiting there for the garland, as soon as he's killed, I'll give Nishimadeva's heart's garland. So what would they think about Prahlad? You know, who would do that? You know, oh, my father being ripped apart in a gruesome way. Oh, there's a nice garland. Give that to him. How can they understand the Vaishnava? So they're thinking, we're immoral. And then they think God is immoral. But speaking of the Vaishnavas, that Krishna comes and he's playing on his flute, all the young girls, married girls, they come running in the night. They belong to, you know, apparently there's someone else's. They even left their children. Babies crying. Oh yeah, it's Krishna's calling. So they think the devotees are immoral, and they think that God is immoral. It's a very, very difficult. Who can understand? That's what it's saying here. You know, who can understand the activities of the Vaishnavas, of Prithvi Maharaj, and the personality of Godhead? Yudhisthira also. Yudhisthira, he was asked to tell a lie, that it was Ashwatthama, right? The son of Duryodhana. Krishna said, we cannot defeat him unless, you know, he loses heart. So Yudhisthira, you're known for your truthfulness. So you tell him that his son Ashwatthama is dead, and then he'll lose heart and we'll kill him. It's just the activities of Krishna. Yudhisthira, no, I cannot tell a lie like that. For that, he had to seek help. For not lying. There's some punishment. So, very, very difficult to understand. So, ultimately, although it's difficult to understand, we follow the Acharyas, we follow Srila Prabhupada, and we follow Krishna. Even the standard of education, one may think, yes, we get a good education, and then we'll be properly situated with good knowledge. But again, what is that education? Actually, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, that the more one is educated, mature education, the more one becomes like an ass. An ass means that they live a condemned life, carrying an unnecessary burden, searching for happiness that they never get, always beaten by a cruel master. Like that. So as an example of that, in fact, basically what happens is that the more education they get, the more they're condemned by Maya. Maya sits on a tiger, sometimes a lion. She has the trident, the Adiyatmi, Adivotic, Adidevic, and just prodding, giving, you know, punishment. And she, you know, Prabhupada gives this example that, again, he was in Los Angeles. One person came, Prabhupada asked him what he was, a mining engineer. So he's feeling very successful. He's got these big educational qualifications. Anyway, you know, after he'd gone, he was giving class. Perhaps the next day, he's speaking to his disciples, his followers. He was saying how, you know, the nature of Maya, that we feel that we're advancing in happiness or education and knowledge, morality, truthfulness, honesty. But in all respects, we're simply completely illusioned and condemned by Maya. There is no advancement. In fact, we're going backwards. So this miner, he was saying that what is the result of his education? Look how condemned. That his daily work is to go down into the dark tunnels, down like the mice and the rats that live underground. They're condemned. No one wants to live like a rat. But now I've got my education, my quality, now I can live like a rat. I can, you know, this is my success. Always in these dark places, dangerous, and that I will spend my life. The best part of my life will be spent underground in these places. But he's thinking, yes, but my education means I can make these places comfortable to work and to be there and to breathe and so on. So much advancement that we've done like that. So, as Prabhupada says, polished animal life. So the rats may not necessarily have the same engineering skills and put some lights up in their little tunnels. You don't see that in so many things. But they're actually living in the same place. So, basically, we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We follow the Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy. Srila Vyasadeva, who composed the Srimad Bhagavatam, he saw there is Krishna, and behind Krishna, embarrassed to come in front of Krishna, was Maya, or the material energy. The material energy exists because of the Supreme Lord. There is no existence of the material energy except for she rests upon the existence of the Personality of Godhead. She has no separate existence. But she cannot influence the Personality of Godhead. That is God's position. He says here in the Bhagavad Gita, was at 724. Avyaktam yaktim apnam mante mama buddhaya karambhavam jhanatam mahabhyam anuktamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So actually, it is
the living entity, when we come into this world, we're like a, if you take the example of the sun, that where there is sun, there is no darkness. So Krishna is like the sun. There is no Maya. Even if he comes to this material world, he is always Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Maya cannot touch him, just as the darkness cannot touch the sun. It's very common sense. But we're like a little particle of the sun rays. The darkness, you know, the clouds which are created by the sun cover our vision. Then there is darkness. We can be covered. As Prabhupada says, the sun, he says, it's 1,400,000 times bigger than the earth. Is that right? Anyone got some astronomical? It's pretty big. It's much bigger than the earth. So it's not possible for the clouds on earth to cover the sun because of the immense size of the sun. And a little cloud on earth, and the sun is just, what to speak of the distance? The sun is always above the, and the sun is always above the cloud. So, you know, you cannot. So God, Krishna, is always above the darkness of Maya. If our sense of morality, duty, honesty, truthfulness is based upon illusion, we're condemned to suffer the repeated birth and death in this material world, and we can never escape that. And that is the end result of such duty. Is a condemned life, a birth and death, and captured by Maya, which no one can escape. But if one always keeps Krishna, one always thinks of Krishna. So they're saying, why serve Krishna? But actually, we must serve Krishna. If we keep connection with Krishna, always think of Krishna, become his devotee, always serving Krishna, and offering our obeisances and worshipping him, then Maya cannot touch one. That is the secret. As long as one always sees, Krishna is the proprietor of all living entities. When you see a living entity, there is Krishna, the super soul, within the heart of that living entity. There is the spirit soul. Why are they suffering? Because Maya has captured them. If we help them to get out of Maya by becoming Krishna conscious, they can know Krishna and go back to Godhead. Okay. If we always keep that position, then and our duties are always done in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Never separating ourselves from Krishna. And if we do that, then everything is all good, all auspicious, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Because, well, the devotees, but see, as Srila Prabhupada says, that even amongst devotees of Krishna, yes, the third one's devotees, but what sort of devotee? Because even amongst the devotees of Krishna, as we say, there are those who follow Krishna and they feel that, you know, they say, well, he is God, and he behaves in an immoral way, and I'm following God, so I am going to, you know, enjoy the things that God shows me, you know, how to behave. And I will also have the, you know, association with the married women in this world, you know, for Sanskrit occasion. So there are. And then you have, you know, persons who, you know, worship Krishna, but they also seeing that he is impersonal, but has accepted that material body as Krishna, then they also see that that impersonal Brahman has also manifested as Shiva, Durga, Kali. So they have, you know, the devotees of Krishna, they do Krishna Kirtan, and they do Kali Kirtan. And Shiva Kirtan, and Durga Kirtan. Of course, these things don't actually exist in the Vedic scriptures, but they, you know, to compete. But they're also devotees of Krishna. And even if they're devotees of Krishna, they still cannot understand Krishna, his pastimes. You know, some worship Krishna up to the Bal Krishna point, where they think that Krishna was pure up until he was a baby, but then later become impure. So let's put that aside and just worship the pure form of Krishna. There are so many different persons who say that they're Vaishnavas, but there are many, many discrepancies. They really don't understand Krishna as well. You know, there are many people who worship God, whether in Christianity, Muslim religion, Judaism, you know, or Hinduism, even following Krishna or Vishnu. But in actuality, they haven't heard how to follow God from the Maha Bhagavat, devotee of the Lord. That's the difference. See? Because here we're hearing about Prithvi Maharaj, that he did his duty, but always in connection with what the Supreme Personality of Godhead considered, this will be done according to this time and place. So he had that full faith, just as Srila Prabhupada had that full faith, that, you know, and in Kali Yuga, the main thing is that we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, in Kali Yuga, the main thing is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You dance and have kirtan, Krishna kirtan, have prasadam, nice festivals, worship the deity in the temple, always hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and try and help others. So even amongst those who are following what appears to be Krishna consciousness, they have no interest in the Sankirtan movement at all. But according to time, place and circumstance, you know, one must. So the difference is that to get out of a total material concept, one may then get into a religious or semi-pseudo-religious understanding, even into Vaishnava circles, but even one wants to practice Vaishnavism, if they do not hear from the pure devotee of the Lord, the Paramahamsa, the Mahabhagavat, who is teaching the principle of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they will never understand. And, you know, sometimes Prabhupada is very gentle, that, oh yes, you know, this, they are doing, you know, some religious principles, and they are doing some religious principles, and he gives credit. And a lot of other times he says, actually, if they don't accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead, then there's no hope. Because, you know, we see that many of the people who are following religious principles, and you know, there's no understanding of God, there's no understanding of the spirit soul. And therefore, you know, in Christianity, there is rampant killing. You know, it's a fundamental principle. And in so many, you know, so many different religions. One time Prabhupada was in Mayapur and he said this. So we're not condemning other religions. Prabhupada said, we're just saying follow it. If you're a Christian, follow it. You'll get the results, but you're not following. Prabhupada was in Mayapur. He asked his disciples, what is the difference between us and all these other religions? Oh, they went through all these different philosophies and different processes. No, 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 no. And then one of his disciples says, we're following? That's it. That's the only difference. We have a process also. That was another point. What is their process? They're not even sure what their process is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy, spiritual. You mention God's name, they say, we don't want to hear the name of God. In the mosques, you are not allowed to put forms of any sort in a mosque. They're worshipping God, but you're not allowed to, have a picture of a form of God. For that, it would be dead. Punishment. If you cannot understand the name of God, how do you always think of God? You can't think of his name. That's against the rules. You can't think of his form. That's idol worship. You can't worship his form. So what do they do? They either serve God by just doing charity and their duty, looking after human beings according to their modes of material nature, sense of what is moral. Oh, here is the poor people, and let us give them some money. They're giving to this country. I will give to these people because they're part of the Christian dominion. We have dominion over this part of the planet. Let's look at these. We don't care about feeding those people. It's not good political sense. These people are also starving, but it doesn't make political sense, or goes against our benefit if we feed them, so we're just going to feed these ones. So basically what happens is that the real knowledge of the personality of Godhead, his name, his form, his mother and father, his address, we can give. Who else can do that? People want to know God. We can tell you his name, his form, what he looks like. We can tell you where he lives. We can tell you who his mother and father is. We can tell you everything. As long as someone will sit there, we can tell you. We can read you. We can discuss all 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and all 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, if you're willing to listen. We'll tell you something about God, and they'll say, no, that's all blasphemy. We cannot hear even one thing from that. But in their own, when they go to their own, meetings, it is discussions upon just helping humanity. But what does that help? Actually, it's not possible to help humanity unless it's sanctioned by God. And you cannot help a drowning man by just rescuing his clothes. Someone races into the ocean, the man is drowning, and they, come back out of the ocean. Oh, I've got his jacket. Oh, where's the man? Oh, he's still out there. So there's all this nonsense things going on. Really, when it comes down to it, unless they actually, they can remain Christian, but we should still be able to talk to each other, and they should be able to hear these principles of Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and then become a proper Christian. They can remain a Muslim, but they should be able to discuss with us Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna with us and eat prasadam with us. Why not? It's all connected with God. And then they'll be a proper Muslim. And if they don't, then what we see is their activities are very deficient spiritually. And that's just the proof. That is the proof. And they cannot follow anything because there's nothing to attach themselves spiritually. It's only material concepts. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Sorry. What was your problem?